We're talking about the harvest this morning, and I want to begin by sharing a story about this guy. His name is Don Piper. Let me tell you his story. Last Sunday at 5 o'clock when the kids got together, we listened to a video of this guy tell his story. Here's what happened. January 1989, he's crossing a bridge. He's in a vehicle, a car. And an 18-wheeler swerves out of the lane it should be in and came into his lane and hit him. He said about 9 wheels just came over his car, and he died instantly. There were paramedics on the scene, there were ambulances, and they pronounced him dead. Apparently it was misty or raining. They put a tarp over his car. And over the next few minutes, there was a lot of things happening, but a guy came along by the name of Dick Onerecker. And both Don Piper and Dick had been at some church conference prior to it earlier in the day. And this Dick comes along and there's this bad accident. There's a tarp over this guy's car. And he says, you know what? I want to pray for the guy in that car. And the authority said, no, he's dead. He pressed again. He says, I want to pray for him. And they didn't want him to. He's dead. And he persevered and they said, it's a pretty bad scene. And this guy, Dick Onerecker, says, hey, I was in Vietnam, and I've seen a lot. It can't be any worse than that. They let him through. Dick Onerecker went to this car with the tarp over it, and he put his hand under the tarp on this guy's shoulder, and he started to pray. And he prayed. And time went by, and then he began to sing a song. I think it was What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And all of a sudden, a voice came out from under the tarp. It was Don Piper. The guy was shocked, I think, Dick, and so he went to the authorities and said, listen, I need you to go check this guy. He's alive. They said, no, he's dead. And they had to persuade them to go check him out. Apparently, according to the story, he said, I'm going to lay down in front of this ambulance so you can't leave until you go check him. So they went and checked him. They found a pulse. Now, about an hour and a half went by, and here's what happened. Don Piper said he died instantly, and he went to heaven. And he wrote a book about this experience, and he called it 90 Minutes in Heaven. And he's since recovered. He was in the hospital 13 months. Rehab for the next 2 years. 34 surgeries. And now he's gone all over the world telling his story about 90 minutes in heaven. I want to tell you about part of what his experience was in heaven. He said he went there, and the first person he saw was his grandfather to greet him. He saw a friend that he had gone to Sunday school with. And the friend who was a star athlete, and Don Piper looked up to him. He accidentally died, this guy did, in some kind of an accident, and he died before Don, and he was there. He met Don at the gates to welcome him. So Don Piper tells a whole bunch of things about his experience in heaven, but here's one of them. He said he heard 1,000 songs, 1,000 pieces of music being sung at the same time, and it all made sense. But in his book, he just shares about all the amazing things that happened. But here's where this is going. He was greeted by certain people when he went to heaven. And, of course, he came back and lived. But I want to talk about the people who greeted him. It was his grandfather. And it was his friend that went to Sunday school with him. You know who greeted him in heaven? The people that had helped him get there. They were the welcoming committee. And he came back and he wrote about it in his material and speaks about it. They welcomed him in heaven. Here's the point. You know what they were? They were harvesters. They were people who invested in Don Piper's life through the years. They died, went to heaven, and they got to welcome him when he got there. He said, they were expecting me. They were waiting for me. Who's going to welcome you? Who's invested in your life that when you die and you have faith in Jesus and what he's done, you're going to go to heaven? You're going to have a welcoming committee. Here's a bigger question. When you die and you go on ahead, who are you going to be assigned to welcome? That's what a harvester does. That's what a harvester is. It's a person who invests in this life's journey into other people so that they get to heaven. And when you die and they follow later, I believe you'll be assigned to be their welcoming committee. I want to share just a few thoughts this morning about having a harvester mindset. In your notes, here's the first thing. Here's a harvester, a definition. It's one who helps others get to heaven. It's pretty simple. Anybody can be a harvester. You invest in people getting there. You help the conversations you have, the influence you have in your life, you somehow point them in the direction of faith, and they will end up in heaven. You're a harvester. Now, last week we talked about planting seeds and the tools of a seed planter. We said there's three major kinds of seeds to plant. The first is what we call just friendship conversations, where you build people up. You love them, you affirm them. A second one is invitation conversations. Don Piper got invited to church by about three other teenagers. The power of an invitation. And then lastly, there's faith conversations. That's when we engage people and we get down to the level of saying, how is your faith and what do you believe and what do you trust in? Let me tell you, the welcoming committee for Don Piper, I believe they invested those three kinds of seeds into Don Piper's life, and they were a part of the welcoming committee. But let me share with you in the time remaining three characteristics of being a harvester. Number one, it's in your notes. Harvesters see opportunities where others do not. They see opportunities. Read with me the words of Jesus in John 4, 35 in your notes. Do not say, 4 months more, and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Here's what Jesus says. Some people see clearly the opportunities in front of them with other people. He says, open your eyes. Let me tell you, it takes a certain kind of mindset to always look for people who are open, ripe, and white for harvest. Jesus said, don't wait for 4 months. Do it today. They're out there. And so I came across this quote by Charles Arne. I thought it was good. The more disruptive a life event is to a person's psychological equilibrium, the more it will cause him or her to be spiritually receptive. In other words, when someone's in a crisis, they are more open and receptive to the seed that gets planted into their lives. And here's four categories from churchingenuity.com. Who's most open? Letter A, it's when parents have the birth of a child, something about it just opens up a hunger or a need or an interest of the bigger picture of answering the questions of life. Letter B, crises, the loss of a job, or someone going through a divorce or sickness. People are open because they're hurting. Letter C, someone who moves and they're new in town. They have a lot of change going on in their life. And lastly, loss of a loved one. I tell you, that's one of the biggest ones. When we lose a loved one, our lives are just kind of shattered on the inside. And we're very open and receptive for help from God. So Jesus says this, look for opportunities. A harvester mindset is when a person goes through life and they're always looking for people that they can help shape or encourage or love them to find a deeper faith. Number two. The second characteristic of being a harvester is this. Harvesters prioritize their life's weekly rhythm to influence others. They prioritize their weekly rhythms. You see, what a priority is? It's a predetermined decision. You know, let me give you an example. You know, kids, some like school, some don't, but let's say they stay up late on Sunday night, and it's Monday morning, and they don't want to go to school. And they're laying in bed. May not happen to any kids here, though. They're laying in bed, and they say, I don't want to go to school. And mom or dad says, listen, you are going. That's it. Bye. You're going. It's a predetermined decision. It's a priority that they're going to go to school. Okay, what about prayer before every meal? It's a priority. It's a predetermined decision. We won't eat unless somebody prays, including kids. How about this church on Sunday morning? You are here. Bless you. Let me tell you, when you make church a part of the weekly rhythm of your life, can I tell you, it's a predetermined decision that it's valuable and you want to make it count. How about youth group or Wednesday, 252 XP3 kids, life groups? Here's what Jesus said. But seek ye first his kingdom, and everything else in life will fall into place. A little paraphrase at the end. But here's the point. I want to talk to parents and grandparents. You know what the most important thing is for your lives right now? It's your weekly rhythm. You know why? In your weekly rhythm, you will leverage your influence to your children and grandchildren and to your kids and grandkids' friends, because the rhythm of your life has a shadow effect that blesses other people. And you know what you're doing? You're being a harvester. You're being smart and wise to weave into your weekly rhythm the things that have some eternal significance. Many people aren't here this morning. You know why? You can do all kinds of things on Sunday morning. You can sleep in. You can work. You can go to a ball game. You can do all kinds of things. But when you decide that your priority is to be a harvester in life, one that influences your family and your friends and the people you work with, you build into your weekly cycle, your weekly rhythm, this thing, the decisions that are going to make a big impact on people's lives. You prioritize your life's weekly rhythm. So number one is about opportunities. Number two is about priorities. Number three, I like this one. Here it is. Harvesters live their life to prepare for heaven. Let me stop there. I want to get there first myself. You want to get there first yourself. That's your biggest priority. You and I live our life in such a way that we have heaven in sight, and that's our goal. We want to honor God. We want to serve him and love him. That's the first part. Here's the second part. Harvesters live their life to prepare for heaven so they can be the welcoming committee for others who follow. You will become a welcoming committee just as Don Piper had people in his life that welcomed him. You will welcome others. Read with me Matthew 25:23. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. I've read that many times. You have too. Jesus welcomes us as we've tried to be faithful and prepare for heaven. But here's my expanded interpretation of that. There's going to be other people there who will be part of a welcoming committee when Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. And who are those people? They're harvesters. And you know who the harvesters are? They are people in my earthly journey and your earthly journey that took time and prioritized their life in such a way it leveraged the influence that they tried to point people to Jesus and somehow develop faith in their life. That's who will be there. As many of you know, I grew up in Iowa, and Dad died when I was 14. I want to tell you about the funeral. I have a picture in my mind. It was the United Methodist Church back in Coggin, Iowa. I came out of the service, and there were two guys. Two guys standing there. One was my football coach, Roger Martin. The other one was a guy by the name of Ron Boss. He was a farmer. And I worked on his farm, you know, just during high school to make money. But here's the deal with Ron Boss. He also taught Sunday school. And he was one of my Sunday school teachers. And he's just a great guy. Just a great guy. And I thought about this as I reflected on this whole concept of what Don Piper talked about. And he's still alive. He's older than me. And if he dies before I do, you know who's going to be up there to welcome me? A guy by the name of Ron Boss. I believe it. He will be. Who's going to welcome you? Who's going to, when you die and you have faith in Christ, who's going to welcome you? They are people who have invested in your life. That's just the way God is. He's amazing. He's got it all lined up. They will be waiting for you. And not only that, here's the bigger question. When you die, who are you going to welcome? Who will be, are there going to be people lined up? There are just going to be bunches of them of who you influenced with your faith on this earthly journey so that they could get to heaven. Wow, that's what harvesters do. They live their life of impact. They prioritize. They look for opportunities so that they can be the welcoming committee for the people that come behind them. Two slides and I'm done. Here's a picture of the tree with an acorn. You see, the acorn is a small seed. That's the power of God's word in anybody's life. You plant it, and it can grow. There's power in the word of God. And so you and I are seed planters, but we're also harvesters. And so harvesters are always looking for people, opportunities to point them in a direction. You've got it on your radar. You prioritize your weekly rhythm. Small thing. And each week you're faithful to that rhythm. Can I tell you, that's a life of influence. And then lastly, I live a life to prepare for heaven so we can become a welcoming committee to the people that come behind us. Here's one last picture. Jesus left the 99 to find the one. There's a lot of ones out there. They're in our families. We work with them. We see them all the time. Christmas season is coming up. We have an amazing opportunity in the next few weeks to just continue to sow seeds of invitation, faith conversations, just to sow seeds of building people up. And we're going after the one sheep because there's rejoicing in heaven over one person, just one sheep who repents of their sins, trusts in God, and heaven becomes their future home. That's who we are. We want to be seed planters and harvesters. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we bow before you in this sacred moment. Thank you for Don Piper's story. And I pray you'll make each of us here harvesters. That we will leave here today and we will look, open our eyes to see the opportunities today, not 4 months from now, but today people are out there and they need you and your grace. I pray you'll help every person here make priority decisions in their weekly rhythm. And Lord, I pray you'll help each of us to prepare for heaven itself by living that kind of life. And that we will become the welcoming committee to other people who come behind us. Father, give us a harvest. Give us a harvest of people that you love, who are the lost sheep, who need your grace and your forgiveness. Use us this next 4 to 5 weeks, the Christmas season, to plant seeds, but also to harvest. And we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.